Welcome back to the Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
Our friends at the Lutheran Witness have updates from an LCMS summit with our partner churches. We're going to hand the mic over to the Reverend Roy Askins.
Greetings, I'm Roy Askins, executive editor of the Lutheran Witness, and I have the great privilege of being here in Wittenberg at the International Church Relations Conference. This conference brings together LCMS folks with representatives from around 40 international partner church bodies to study together and learn how best to support one another. Today, I have the distinct privilege of being here with two esteemed guests. We have the Reverend Dr. Tom Egger, president of Concordia Seminary St. Louis. How are you doing today, sir?
Great. Good to be with you.
And we also have the Reverend Dr. John Bruss, president of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne. Great to have you here today also, John.
Guten Tag.
Yes, you got it. We're going to talk today about the international influence of our LCMS seminaries. I mean, what you're doing to support the proclamation of the gospel abroad and where you hope to go in the future. Before we dive into that, Tom, I'd like to ask you quick about your presentation. You had the opportunity to present at the conference. Could you give us a quick summary of this presentation and how it was geared to help those at this international gathering in their international context?
Sure. So the theme of this entire conference has been Christ, the Lord of history. The theme verse from Hebrews 13, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And my particular essay was the first of the 9 essays for the conference, and it focused on Christ, the Lord of history in creation. But I spent the first part of the essay really just looking at the theme in general, and rejoicing in the fact that the history in which we live is a history that began from Jesus' own creating work. He is the beginning. It's heading towards its end with all things moving towards his great coming and kingdom, the resurrection of the dead, the new creation, and then Christ's lordship of everything in between, and that all of history ultimately is centered in God's gracious, mysterious plan to redeem his creation through his son Jesus, specifically through his crucifixion and resurrection and saving work, and that we continue to live in that history. And it was really meant to be an encouragement. There were a lot of other facets that I moved into tying it in specifically with the early chapters of Genesis. But overall, the goal was to encourage people that even in times when the church seems to struggle and be very small or weak or insignificant, that its work is right in the middle of God's saving purposes. And the presence of Jesus Christ in his work and through in his church and through his church for the world is the most important thing that's going on in history.
You know, I appreciated your paper, Tom, as I did most of the other, in fact, all the other ones
yeah,
that
they've
I
been
heard.
Great.
And, you know, for the hearers to understand what this is, there's about an hour and a half given to each paper, and less than half of that time is the paper itself. So the authors of the papers are painting in really pretty broad strokes, but that kind of broad stroke painting or that condensed painting forces all the papers, like yours, to focus on the critical issues in a way that can be received by and put to use by our partner churches throughout the world. And I've been extremely impressed, and oftentimes the conversation is as good as or better than the papers themselves.
Yeah, so we have the essayists, and then like you said, we have, in a lot of cases, almost an hour of microphone time with theologians from all over the world coming forward to offer further reflections or raise questions for the way that the ideas intersect with their own circumstances.
I actually really appreciated your take on the use, can we say apologetic use of the first chapters in Genesis and how we talk about this. Do you remember some of that conversation? Do you mind summarizing kind of that conversation we had afterwards?
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly which parts of it you're referring to.
Is this the feeding of the 5,000? Is that what it was?
No, I was thinking more.
Because that one's excellent.
Well, we'll go with that one. Tell us what that was.
Well, I'll just make a couple of comments. One thing I tried to emphasize is, though, there's a place for apologetics that actually interact with scientific evidence and things like that, that a pastor's main vocation is simply to joyfully proclaim what God has done and to do so with confidence in the scriptural testimony without a self-imposed burden that we need to somehow prove this to people. God has told us how the world came about and how he marvelously set all things in place, and it's our vocation to repeatedly and joyfully proclaim that to God's people and not always feel the apologetic burden to try to prove things to people. So that was one one emphasis. But yeah, the other was just the observation that if we think the creation of the world was a miracle, that we shouldn't be too hasty to make assumptions about what the world should look like when we investigate it empirically or scientifically with any of Jesus' miracles. Afterwards, you would not be able to investigate them scientifically and work backwards and conclude that somehow this person was miraculously helped or saved. And I use the example of the feeding of the 5,000 with all that leftover bread. You could analyze it scientifically. You could come up with conclusions about where it had come from, where the grain had been grown, how long ago it had been baked, things like that. They would all be wrong conclusions because they had just come from the hands of Christ.
That was a great insight. I really appreciate it.
I loved it too. It was really good. And, you know, I think your point about not sort of taking the apologetic burden too far is really, really important. In my own congregation, I had four PhDs. Two of them were scientific PhDs. It was helpful if I could understand what they were talking about, but they knew that I could never fully understand what they were talking about, nor did they expect that I would. And so a lot of this apologetic stuff comes, you know, I think you have to ask the question, who's this coming from, right? If it's coming from your own parishioners, it's going to be, I would say, charitable questioning. If it's coming from the outside, in a sense, the mind's already made up. And what are you going to do? What they need to hear is the gospel.
Mm-hmm. I want to shift a little bit now and talk about the conference. John, attending this conference is a significant chunk of time away from your duties as president of the seminary. Can you explain why this conference in particular is helpful and why it's important for you to attend here in Wittenberg?
So I think there's no question that our two seminaries, our synod, has a massive influence throughout the world on confessional Lutheranism. And this extends to all of the continents except for Antarctica, unless there happens to be a Lutheran down there for, you know, the 6-month period that they go visit. So what a joyful thing it has been for both of our seminaries, has been and continues to be forming the future leadership, pastorate in many cases, of partner churches throughout the world, ensuring through our formation that in Indonesia, in Australia, in China, in Hong Kong, in Russia, you name it, people are hearing the same pure gospel, receiving the same Jesus in word and sacrament who has delivered them from all sins and death and the power of the devil. So I think we need to recognize this role, and I don't think we can take it for granted for a single moment. If we want the gospel to go throughout the world, look, the 1.5 or 2 million Missouri Synod Lutherans aren't going to accomplish it, but we can through our partner churches, and pairing, working together with them is critical. You know, another brief thing. One of the duties of the synod, and this was even in the 1847 Constitution, one of the duties of an evangelical Lutheran synod is to find those throughout the world with whom you do share a confession. Why? Because the Lord Jesus prays, ut unum sint, that they might be one. And so this is one way of expressing that unity that we have through faith in Christ and our baptism around the shared means of grace.
This is a question for you both. Maybe we can start with President Egger and then go to President Bruss. Can you give us an example or some of the examples of the ways in which Concordia Seminary St. Louis is working to do this formation in international context with our international partners and helping them in this work?
Yeah, well, I've been in the role as president at St. Louis now for just 3.5 years. And I will tell you that one of the most joyful discoveries of stepping into this role, because I pay attention a lot more now to external things than I did just what's going on with the students right in front of me in the classroom, is to realize the long history of international engagement and the depth of impact of the seminaries of our church body on Lutheran churches around the world. And just one example, I was down in Brazil teaching a master's course down there for a week 2 summers ago. And while I was down there, just meeting with so many people and leaders in the church who were thanking me profusely for the generations of impact that our seminary has had on their church, having dinner in homes of different professors who talked about their days on our campus studying, and they now are professors and church leaders there in our sister church in Brazil. And that story can be multiplied many times around the world for both seminaries, that there are just so many angles or aspects of these international connections that the seminaries are right in the midst of. So many of our missionaries who have gone over and served in foreign countries were prepared at our seminaries. We have current faculty who travel extensively abroad lecturing for our partner churches. We also have professors on our faculties from partner churches from around the world. We have in St. Louis two professors from Australia, two from Brazil. I know the Fort Wayne Seminary has a German professor and a Japanese professor, and now just called a young man from
Finland. And then we also have somebody with connections to South Africa as well.
Detlef Schultz. Yeah. So, and then we have students coming to study on our campus as graduate students. And we also send students in some cases to study abroad with our partner churches. So lots of international connections, which is a huge area of service to the worldwide Lutheran Church, but also a great benefit to our own faculty and students to have those relationships.
With about 30 seconds, President Bruss, what are some particular ways that Fort Wayne is also involved in this work?
Well, Tom's already mentioned the numerous ways in which both of our seminaries interact with worldwide Lutheranism. One of the things that struck me when I got to Fort Wayne, now I'd only taught there 2 years before my election, was I had virtually no class in which I did not have a student from a foreign church body. And it was a really, really wonderful thing. And so the touch of our institutions on these foreign churches is just really critical.
Thank you very much, gentlemen, for your time. I really appreciate you being here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks to our friend, Pastor Roy Askins, executive editor of the Lutheran Witness, for sharing the story with us today. You've been listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO. To support The Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit KFUO.org. You can also text KFUO to 41444 or send an email to gifts@KFUO.org. And you can call us at 800-844-0524. KFUO. Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.
At Concordia University, Wisconsin, we believe you were created for a reason, to use your God-given gifts to help others, to live a life of self-sacrifice in a me-first world, to live a life that's uncommon. Whether you're taking one of 50-plus online programs or learning with us in person on the shores of Lake Michigan, you'll be equipped to make an uncommon impact. Learn more at cuw.edu. Concordia University, Wisconsin. Live uncommon.